Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest, and welcome to the first day of 2022. Giving you something special tonight. Without further ado, part 3 for Cabin Fever. In the night, I heard the wind howl and the trees outside violently shaking together. It was dark. It was always dark, but we had all gotten used to it by then. Since the group of survivors had stumbled to our door, the situation only got worse. In only a week, the storms had gotten twice as bad. Now they averaged 5 days in length, and I could barely tell what time it was outside. On top of that, the length in between the storms had gotten shorter. Much shorter. We missed our opportunity, and now it seemed the worst had come. We may be forced to stay here the whole winter on little more than a few cans of vegetables. It was an impossible task. We were rationing our food, and it seemed the effects of hunger were constant. It was viable, but for how much longer? How much longer could we stay? Each day was longer than the last. Most days we sat by the fire and tried to entertain ourselves in vain. Some people played board games, others found books to read. Still, others talked in a low voice while they looked longingly out the window, hoping they wouldn't see anything waiting in the storm. But I could tell it was still out there. In the night, the screams of the monster blended with the wind. Everyone except me and Beatrice believed our stalker was from the realm of man. If only they knew. The firewood was running low, but with all these new hands, we had gathered enough to weather another storm before it hit. Our main problem remained food, and whatever was out there. I sat in the kitchen despite it being colder there. We had filled the bathtub with hot water to heat that room up, so one or two people had relocated there temporarily. But in the kitchen, I had enough distance to feel like I wasn't losing my mind half as much, being stuck within a group of survivors, and I had a clear view of the storm outside. Well, as clear could be. Kate joined me for a while, and we spoke about what we could do to get out of there with no success, and then talked about anything else. One morning, I began to notice that the wind was dying down. I called a meeting in front of the fire, and we began bouncing back ideas off one another for the millionth time. "We need to move quickly," David said. "There's no telling how long we have. Could just be a few hours, maybe less."
"So what then?" I asked. "8 people is a lot."
"So we send a few, only a few, to get help from the town." Beatrice saw this was a horrible idea. "You can't just send people out into a storm and hope for the best. What if they get in the trouble? Don't you remember what happened when we made the journey up here?"
"What happened because there were 6 of us, Beatrice," David told her. "Less people means more speed, and time isn't on our side. Being out here alone isn't just dangerous because of the storms." Everyone looked at me as I spoke. "Don't forget, we are being stalked. You cannot defend yourself from some attack out there. Not adequately, at least."
"What could one person do against 2 of us?" David poked me. I looked at Beatrice. "I saw what happened to Joel. Trust me, you don't want to be caught out there."
David was heating up.
"So what? We'll just die here, starve like peasants?"
"I agree with Dave," Grace said. "We need to send people out there. The risk is worth it."
"I still don't like the idea," Beatrice grumbled.
"Then they bring protection," Grace suggested. "What do you guys have here?"
Kate and I looked at each other. She was sitting close to me.
"Nothing," I told them.
"No guns?"
"Milo doesn't hunt," Kate defended me.
"We have knives, kitchen knives, that's all we can offer."
"If I may," Beatrice cut in. Joel has had a rifle. He told me to get it before he... when he was... it's still at his house. Can we go get it?
That's too far, I told her. It'll waste too much time.
There's a house sort of between here and the town, Kate said then. It'll take less time to get there, but more time to get into town overall if you go that way. The neighbors might have something you could protect yourself with, or a working car.
Or they could be gone,
someone answered.
Or they could be dead,
someone else jabbed. The bickering flew over my head while I looked down at the ground. Something didn't seem right. I stood up and walked over to the window. Snowflakes whipped past at lightning speeds. Trees bent and broke their branches just beyond that. And just beyond that was something. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. I could tell that something was looking at me from just beyond the darkness. If we didn't move soon, we'd all be dead. Kate came up next to me and asked me what was wrong. I turned around and addressed the group.
Two people should leave.
The group stopped talking and looked at me. That way they aren't caught alone and they can move quickly. Head towards the house. It's the only shot we have. David's right. If we all stay here, we die. And if we all leave, we're all as good as dead.
Who leaves then? Beatrice wondered.
Milo and I, David said. We're the two men. We should go.
I choked out a word. No.
No?
No, I can't go. Someone needs to protect this place. Someone needs to watch over everyone here. Half of you are either too weak or sick to protect yourselves adequately. I need to stay here.
I looked at Kate. I couldn't let whatever it was get to her.
Then who's supposed to go with me? David started getting snarky. You're the only one who's up to the challenge.
I can do it.
The group turned to Aya, who was sitting across the room with the Griffith girls, watching them.
You're not going, Aya, Grace said sternly.
I can do it. I was in Girl Scouts. I took some martial arts, Mom. I know how to survive out here, and I'm young. I could move fast.
I said nothing, but looked over at David. It was his daughter.
No, sit down, Grace said once again. Aya did nothing.
She could do it, Grace. She's smart, David seemed sure.
She's probably a better candidate than I am. I know she'll be fine.
What about that killer, huh? She barked. He's out there, waiting.
He won't be, I said. They're out there, right now, watching the house. I saw many panicked eyes look towards the window. You can't see, but they're out there. They have been for several days. Now the storm won't have calmed down enough to leave until tonight, so you could leave by the cover of the darkness.
How could you be so sure? Grace said. I don't see anyone out there.
How could they be out there exposed? David seemed to almost snarl.
Trust me, I said. I've been watching for a while.
He'll see us, David said. He'll follow us.
No, they won't. I'll head outside myself to distract them. That'll give you time to leave. Besides, we need more firewood anyways. Kill two birds with one stone, right?
Nobody said anything. I clapped my hands together. Then it's settled. You'll leave tonight. You could take some of Kate's and mine's clothes to keep you warm, if you want it. And take some food with you in case you get stuck someplace. I could keep it distracted until you leave.
Grace gave me a dirty look, which I assumed meant she was bitter about giving me the okay for her daughter to leave. But it was our best chance. I believed that Aya was a better candidate than me. I couldn't walk in snow. I hated it. And we needed somebody here to watch the house. It was my house, after all. And it was my Kate that was here inside. I moved over to the window and looked out.
Kate came up next to me. She didn't say anything, but I could tell what she was thinking. She was mostly scared, but I could tell that she was happy I stayed instead of going. I was too. Outside, I swore I saw something move. When the time came and the wind had lowered to an acceptable speed, Aya and her father were dressed to head outside. "We'll head to the house on the way," David said, slipping on his jacket. "But there's no guarantee anyone will be there." "Break in if you have to," I told him. "You probably won't have enough time to make it to town. It wouldn't surprise me if the storm caught up to you on the way to the house. But any shelter is better than no shelter, and there may be food there, water too, and heat. You could wait out the storm if you have to." Dave nodded. "Good luck." "You too." He slipped out the door with his daughter, and I turned to head out back. I grabbed my hatchet and slid open the door. Kate grabbed my arm.
"I'm coming with you."
"No, you're not. Let me go. You're letting the cold in."
"Yes, I am. I'm not letting you go out there by yourself."
She was stubborn, too stubborn for her own good. "Fine, but stay close." The door closed behind us and locked. Now we were exposed. The sun had just dipped below the horizon. I could tell despite the cloud cover. It was dark enough to let the Kims sneak away, but light enough that they could still see a bit. The wind was still moving through the trees, but mostly in short bursts, and without incredible power. Kate clung close to me and looked around.
"How do you know he's out there?"
she said to me as we walked. I could tell. If they were following the Griffiths, they would have naturally came here. And us moving outside is a perfect target. That's why I didn't want you to come.
"Well, why can't the others come out here with us?"
"We can't protect everyone. Besides, we don't need as much firewood this time. We got a little already." Kate looked around as we moved through the trees. In the snow, the forest really seemed barren. It was deep snow, and finding logs under wasn't easy. But the storm had blown down enough trees to keep the search easy enough. The trick was not getting caught. But we also needed to make ourselves seen. It was a tricky balance. I hit a tree with the back of the hatchet to make noise to attract the creature. Wind whipped snow into my face and made me curse reflexively. Kate helped me brush it off. We moved farther out and found a fallen log buried in the snow. It was still wet, but nothing a little drying by the fire couldn't do. I started hacking at it while Kate stood watch. After a few minutes, she tapped my shoulder. I looked up.
"Do you see that?"
she said. She didn't seem too concerned.
"What is that thing out there? A deer?"
I looked in the direction she was looking, but I didn't see anything.
"What?
What does it look like?"
Like, I don't know. It's half covered by the tree."
I gritted my teeth. I hoped to God it wouldn't get any closer.
"There. Oh, it's gone."
"Keep an eye out for any movement, okay?"
"Got it, Captain."
I hacked away and soon we had plenty of hefty pile of lumberwood, haphazardly chipping away but still usable in the fire. Kate carried some and I grabbed the rest. We started on our way back to the cabin. I nervously checked over my shoulder every few steps. I could tell we were being watched. We made it to the glass door and it unlocked as Beatrice let us in. We dropped the firewood off and went out for more. When it had gotten too dark to see at all, we had collected enough wood and headed back. I felt relieved to be in the warmth once again, and for Kate and I to be out of harm's way. It was also fairly certain we had succeeded in distracting the creature. We all settled down for another long storm. By the time we would awake, it was likely the wind would have picked up again. All we could do now is wait and hope. but we couldn't wait for too long. We only had so much food left. I guess a week's worth, maybe less. It wasn't good. Not good in the slightest. Wind shook the house. Snow froze the windows. It was always the same. Every day was always the same. It had been the same for weeks. Every day we tried to find something else to ease our minds, and to stop the madness of boredom and anxiety. Every day we had less to ease that pain. Kate liked to read. We had plenty of books, thank God. We had a few board games too, but even those began feeling dry, and more like a waste of time as the six of us waited anxiously for something, anything to happen. Without power, life becomes dull. Life without entertainment becomes unbearable. In life like this, being stalked from just beyond the tree line was hell. I'd often find myself staring out the window, hoping I wouldn't catch a glimpse of anything at the same time wishing I would. But I would rarely ever. It was always dark now, midnight dark, and the blizzard made visibility even worse. I watched the snow pile up outside. It was tall. Too tall for any kind of land vehicle at this point. Maybe just less than 4 feet deep. All things considered, we were very lucky it wasn't any higher. Opening the door was hard enough without spilling snow inside. Finding firewood was a challenge, but luckily, there were plenty of trees that had been knocked down in the storm and we could collect easily enough. Each day we grew more compelled in our tiny living quarters, but the storm never seemed to let up. Eventually, we began to fear the worst. What if the Kims could never make it in time? What if they have been caught? I tried my best to reassure people, but there was only so much I could pull out of my ass until convincing everyone everything would be fine was impossible. Kate and I grew more and more worried. We knew that nobody would be able to get us until after the storm, even if the Kims had already made it to civilization. We were in serious trouble. There was only a few snowplows that could make a dent in that, and they were stationed in town. We would have to wait until at least this one storm ceased. Most likely, we would have to wait until the next one passed. And if the Kims hadn't contacted anyone by then, we'd be dead. We would be out of food. It would be nearing impossible to leave at this point. Not without help from helicopters or extreme plowing from vehicles the town didn't have access to. And that wasn't even considering the threat just beyond the walls of the cabin. There was no telling how long it would take before that thing became desperate enough to try to break in. It was obvious this thing was smart enough. It had slashed our cars after all. So why did it stay out there? Maybe it was because of me. All day, every day, for as long as I could without falling asleep, I would keep watch. Sometimes I'd be conspicuous about it. Other times I'd keep watch from afar to help calm Kate. I couldn't let her know the reality of what was out there. She wouldn't, couldn't take that well. Not well. No. I had to keep that from her. There was no sense in scaring her. The thought that we'd still be here for another week was daunting, say the least. People began wondering if it was the right decision to send David and Aya out there alone. Every day, I could feel Grace's eyes on me. The meetings grew more heated and emotional. I couldn't work with so many women. Not when they were upset like this. But they did have a point. Kate was on my side, but she made it clear she believed we should send someone else after them. Of course, I was the obvious choice, but I didn't want to leave Kate behind. The winds began falling, and the group decided that I should go. Even I thought it was the best choice. If not to make sure the Kims were all right, then to make sure that someone would make it in the town. I was Plan B. I had no Plan C. It had to be me, and I had to succeed. I donned my clothes, extra warmth. I packed a few cans. Beatrice would stay here, as would Grace. They'd watch over the girls, and Kate, well, she wanted to come with me. I didn't like the idea, but I preferred it to leaving her in the cabin where I couldn't protect her, so we left together. We had snowshoes, which helped us quite a lot. Previously, we had only used them in our trips to the mountains. The storm had never been this bad before. Not enough to warrant this kind of extremity. I couldn't help but wonder if the creature and the storms were related. Maybe they had brought it. Or maybe it was the other way around. Regardless, both were dangerous, and both could kill us. The wind was still strong, but it had died down enough for at least a walkthrough. We made a cut through the trees, which helped to block some of it, but it was a chore trying to find ways through the branches. The snow was so high now that my head scraped the lower branches even at some medium-sized trees, and the wind only made them more painful as they slashed around in the dark. We moved on. I kept a watchful eye on Kate, who was still blissfully unaware of the creature. She believed something was out there, yes, but not this. Not something inhuman that could kill and would kill for the sheer joy of it. I had never had a good look at myself, and all we had to protect ourselves was a bat, so there was no telling what this thing could be capable of. The snow was thick and getting thicker. With each step, I grew to loathe the cabin more and more. It wasn't worth it. It never had been. I couldn't handle the snow in the winters, and now this? This whole experience was the cherry on top. But Kate loved it, didn't she? Hopefully this was enough to convince her that we needed to ditch this place. And to think we wouldn't even be here if Kate would just learn not to be so forgetful. We walked in relative silence as the storm died down for the next few hours. The snow slowed us down considerably, but the snowshoes helped. I wondered how the Kims before us might have managed without some of their own. The snow had never been this deep before. Usually, the storms just brought in with them some frigid air and high winds, kicking up the snow already existing on the ground, but this winter, the snowfall never seemed to stop. With each passing day, the ground became further and further. How could the animals survive under all this? "Do you remember our trip to the Bahamas?" I asked out loud in the cold. Kate nodded but didn't say anything. Her face was pink. I really didn't want her being out here, but the alternative wasn't too much more appealing. "What I would give to be back there. We'll go anywhere once we get out of this," she said to me, still holding my arm close to her. It was hard to imagine such a warm place when I could feel the chill of winter in my bones. It was still only December. How was January going to look? I dreaded the thought of staying here through January. No, more than dread. Panic. Fear. We wouldn't survive. We couldn't. No amount of firewood would keep us from starving to death. We had to make it. I sped up as best I could. A few more hours had passed, and the clouds had thinned enough to see that it was daytime. It wouldn't be long now before another monster blizzard rolled in, but we were almost there. Almost there. But then what? Would we have to try to make it the rest of the way? The house came into view. A large one at the end of a long driveway. The yard was large and cleared of most trees, so we could see the house clearly as we crested the hill. Kate and I marched up the driveway, buried by the powder, and headed towards the large porch's entrance. The door was locked. Not a good sign. Did the Kims make it? "What about the back door?" Kate asked. "Back door? Of course." We moved around the house towards the back and found the sliding door broken. They had made it inside after all. The inside of the house was just as grotesque as the outside, simple but large. The tables were clean, and the furniture was neat, and there was no sign of any kind of struggle like there had been at the Griffiths household.
"David?"
I called into the empty husk.
"Aya?"
No reply. Kate and I looked at each other. "Do you think they left for town?" she said. "I hope so." We split up and searched the sprawling household. I sent Kate to find food, and I managed to find a man cave in the basement that had a couple of hunting rifles. I also found another hatchet. When I made it back upstairs, Kate was stuffing a duffel bag with as many non-perishables as she could find. It was such a relief to find so much food. Thank Christ the people who lived here had so much food. We could bring it back to the cabin and survive long enough until help arrived, now that we knew that the Kims had already left for town. It seemed like things were starting to look up. I desperately hoped nothing would sour it.
"I need to go to the bathroom," I told Kate. "I'll be right back."
"Don't clog the toilet," she joked.
Sweet Kate, always trying to lighten the mood.
I found a bathroom on the first floor and went. As I was washing my hands, something demanded my attention. Creaking. Creaking floorboards above me. I opened the bathroom door and called out to Kate. She responded from the kitchen.
"Yeah?"
It wasn't her. Something was up there. I motioned for her to come to me and she heard the creaking too. Something small. Just the smallest of movements in an old house. It couldn't be the Kims, could it? They would have answered our call. The owners of the home? I doubted it. This place was too cold. Nobody had lived here in weeks. So what the hell was it? My mind assumed the worst. I found the bat and moved silently up the spiral staircase, poised to attack. It was all silent. Kate followed me up, looking from behind to see if she could spot the source of the noise. I located the door to the room above the bathroom. It was closed. Quietly, I reached for the handle while Kate gripped my arm. I swung open with a creak. There was no monster inside, just a person, a girl, Aya. She was curled at the foot of the bed on the far wall, rocking back and forth. Her eyes emerged from her shirt when she saw us and she screamed, maybe in fear or maybe in relief. Kate pushed me out of the way and rushed up to the girl. She was wearing bloody clothes, but she looked physically fine. Aya began to bawl.
"What happened?" she said, holding the teenager. She didn't say anything at first, but then she said, "It got him."
My blood turned to ice.
"What got who?" Kate pressured.
"The monster. It killed him," she heaved.
Kate looked at me with a mixture of fear and worry and sadness, and then back at the poor Aya. She didn't say anything, but I knew exactly what she was thinking. I stepped out of the room and buried my face in my hands, wishing I could let out a scream. The distraction hadn't worked. Whatever this thing was, it was even smarter than I gave it credit for, and even faster than I had ever imagined possible. Somehow, this thing was able to get to the Kims and come back to the cabin without me even noticing. I wanted to bash my head against the wall right then and there. What did this mean for us? Nobody was on their way to town. The food at the cabin was scarce. Kate came into the hallway with Aya, who was wrapped in blankets and staring at the ground with puffy eyes. "They've been here since the last storm," she told me in a low voice. I already knew what she was going to say next. "We need to take her back to the cabin."
"Are you insane?" I blurted. Kate looked taken aback.
I called myself off before continuing. "We need to get into town," I said. "It's the only way."
"The cabin is closer. Aya needs someplace warm to rest. She's in no condition to go out into that storm. If we leave now, we could make it."
I clenched my jaw and stared at the wall. "If we go back, we won't have another chance to get in the town. We'll be snowed in, you know this."
"But now we have food. We could make it."
"Food?
Kate, we need more than food to survive. What about the frickin' monster out there?"
She crossed her arms. "What are we supposed to do with Aya then?" I sighed and started pacing. "I don't know. We can't just leave her here."
I know we can't just leave her, just...
Why don't you go in the town? I could take her back.
Hell no!
I whipped around to face her.
No, I'm not gonna let you go out there by yourself.
She gave me a look of frustration.
Then what? What other ideas do you have?
I have none.
Damn it. Damn it all. Everything was wrong. All of it. Just when it seemed like I couldn't sink any deeper into the filthy snow, it just kept piling up.
We couldn't stay here. Aya was nearing hyperthermia, and that was just evidence enough. This house didn't have a fireplace, for Christ's sake. The only option was to leave Aya here and go in the town, or to take her back to the cabin and hunker down until spring came, or at least until the storms died down in late January. I hated myself for entertaining the idea of leaving Aya here, but it was the best shot we had at getting Kate to safety. That was assuming, of course, the prospect of not being hunted and killed by that creature. Besides, Kate would never go for it.
Damn,
I said. Okay, fine. Let's head back quickly. The next storm is coming. We hurried and combed the rest of the house for supplies. There was little of use besides a couple of spare batteries and a flashlight. We also grabbed more blankets and whatever else we could find in the kitchen, and loaded them up into anything we could carry. It would slow us down, but we had protection now. Guns. We just needed to outpace the storm. Outside, a breeze had already begun to grow. The wind like this wouldn't normally mean anything, but in December it meant only one thing. We had to move. I caught sight of a shed on our way out. I went to go check it out in case there was anything we could use. The shed was small and dark, and cluttered to the brim with tool after reluctant tool, but it did have some nails I could use to board up the house with. I also managed to pull loose an old wooden sled from the avalanche of falling debris. An old radio fell out with it. I stopped for a minute to look at it. A radio. A two-way radio. My hopes soared. This could be it. This could be our chance to call for help. I checked the bottom. It needed batteries. It was also busted. Maybe I could figure out how to fix it. I loaded it in my already overstuffed bag and brought the sled out to the girls. We put everything we could onto it and strapped it down before heading out. As we walked, I kept an eye out for the creature. If it had managed to get to Dave, and then it sure as hell could get us. We just had to keep moving. But with all the extra weight and the extra person, we just weren't moving fast enough. Not to mention, Aya didn't have snowshoes like us. Eventually, she had to hitch a ride on the sled, which I struggled to pull her through the snow. Regardless, we were making okay time. I was sweating half to death and Aya wasn't looking so good. But if we kept up with the speed, we could make it back to the cabin by the time the wind started to really get bad. I grumbled to myself in a muddled anger at everything. At myself. Even a little at Kate. It was her idea to come back. And it was her sense to bring Aya back to the cabin. It was too hard not to be a little bit upset. But I pushed the feelings down and trudged on, forehead beating up and sweat dripping into the snow below. There was no sign of anything following us, not as far as I could tell. But just past the halfway point, something was on the road. Something that hadn't been there before. I dropped the sled and went to investigate. My stomach churned. Tracks. Animal tracks. Kate came up and looked at them too. A look of confusion twisted on her face. What is that? I said nothing but stared at them. I betrayed nothing, but on the inside my mind was raging. These weren't any ordinary tracks. They were large. Too large. Even for a bear. And very deep. They reached several feet down. At the bottom, I could see these tracks were almost star-shaped, with the wide webbing connecting them. I swallowed my fear. Clearly, these were new. At most, only a couple of hours old. Kate opened her mouth to say something, but only hot air came out. She looked at me, eyebrows furrowed in confusion. "We need to go," I said suddenly, standing up. "Come on, let's go." What made those tracks, Milo? Kate asked. I don't know. We're running out of time.
Okay,
she said, stepping over the tracks and continuing. I grabbed the sled and pulled harder. It was a struggle trying to get it through this much snow with that much weight on it, but it was the best we could do. I kept looking over my shoulder at Aya, who was wrapped in blankets and glancing beyond into the trees. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. We probably were. So why didn't it just come out and attack us already? The sky grew darker from the combination of the declining sun and the thickening of the cloud cover. The wind continued to grow, and my heart beat from the effort of pulling the sled. But we couldn't stop. Not now. We were getting close. Off in the corner of my eye, I swore I saw something move. My neck snapped towards it, but whatever it was gone. Or maybe it was just a tree swaying in the wind. I felt like I was losing my mind. I steadied my breathing as best I could and tried to keep up with Kate. I checked over my shoulder a few times just to make sure nothing was there. Aya sniffled from cold and fear and sadness over her lost father. After she had warmed up, it would only be a matter of time before she would reveal the creature for what it really was. What she saw. As much as I hated for Kate to know what was really out in the snow with us, I knew she would need to learn eventually. They all would, especially since we were in this for the long haul. Time grazed by ever so slowly, but we were almost there. The reflection of light off the snow helped to illuminate the area some, but the sky was almost black now, and the flurry of snow that was beginning to whip up didn't help. We flipped on the flashlight and checked our progress. Only 15 minutes to go. We could make it. Before long, the final stretch of road came into view. I felt relief rush through me. This was it. I took another few steps and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I clenched my jaw. We were definitely being watched. I turned my head to see behind us. At first, I couldn't make out anything, but soon it became obvious. There was a distant silhouette just past the tree line. Something large and quadrupedal, and a couple of hundred feet away. My breathing went shallow.
Go,
I said to Kate. What? She called over the wind.
Go! Take Aya!
What? What is it?
I see something!
I looked back at her.
Now! Run!
She grabbed the girl's hand and plowed through the snow. I tugged on the sled while keeping an eye on the creature behind me. The flashlight passed over it, and I swear I could see the faintest light reflecting back at me. The creature moved back into the trees. I cursed and continued to move, pushing against the wind. Up ahead, I could see Kate and Aya rushing as fast as they could to the house. They were almost there. I huffed and continued to shine the light all around, hoping I could catch a glimpse of the thing. And then I did. It was in front of me now, and moving fast. It was heading straight towards the girls.
No!
I screamed. I dropped the sled and pulled out the rifle, firing it towards the creature with an echoing crack. It missed, but seemed to draw its attention. It stopped and looked towards me. I could see its body better now. It was tall, very tall, a couple of feet taller than me at least, with an arched back and long limbs that it used to step over the snow with ease. The creature's eyes lit up in the light of my flashlight, and it seemed to slink back into the trees. I rushed towards the house, dragging the supplies, the cans rattling in the bags behind me. Somewhere out in the storm, I heard that infernal howling again. And I could tell now it was more like the screech of an elk laced with human screams. My spine tingled as I made it to the cabin's door, stumbling inside and collapsing on the floor. The group locked the door behind me and Kate hugged me tightly, crying. I heard the gunshot, she said. I thought you were...
I held her tightly and coughed from the effort of dragging the sled.
Did you shoot him? Grace demanded.
I shook my head. It's still out there. Beatrice snuffled.
Where's David? Grace said, noticing that her husband was absent but her daughter had made it back. Where is he?
I shook my head, standing up. He's dead. Grace put a hand over her mouth.
No, you left him out there?
He was dead when we made it to the house. Aya barely escaped with her life. Grace stumbled backwards into a chair. Beatrice led Aya to the bathroom to soak her in hot water. I collapsed next to the fire and felt the color return to my cheeks. Kate comforted Grace, who was now bawling.
Oh God. This was it then. Unless we could find a way to fix that radio, we were all going to be trapped inside this cabin, snowed in, with that monster just outside.
I wasn't afraid of starving to death anymore, or freezing. We had that covered. I was afraid of the moment when that thing decided it wanted inside with us.